Welcome to the Fair Data Forecast, Samuel Magnus and Weimo Liu. It's good to have you guys, and you're working on some exciting stuff in graph analytics and how to do it and how to do it at scale and performantly. So I just wanted to paint a picture for our audience to begin with. How did you guys get started, and what was the real pain point that you really identified to go with?
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Alan. We really appreciate it. I met Weimo when I was at TigerGraph, and prior to that, I was at Neo4j. And so we've been in the graph space for a while. Myself on the go-to-market side, and Weimo obviously on the engineering side. And there were some significant pain points that we experienced when we were at those respective companies. A lot of it was around data ingestion, scalability, and performance. And so Weimo, being very early on on the TigerGraph team, working on the graph query language as well as the graph query engine, saw a lot of these things from a technical perspective. He then went to Google and worked on a internal tool there that does a unified SQL computation for Google users, doing over a billion queries a day. And so he took his learnings from TigerGraph as well as from Google, and decided to leverage this trend moving into separation of compute and storage to create a graph query engine that could run low latency, complex graph queries on tabular data stores.
The ingestion problem in particular is one that seems, I mean, it just comes up again and again and again. Can you kind of unpack what the problem you're seeing is with ingestion and how you're helping with that?
Absolutely. So users and companies alike don't like to work off of a bunch of different copies of data. Ideally, they'd all work off the same copy of data. From a graph perspective, when you are loading more data, you have to make a lot of tweaks to the schema, and then vice versa, you're making a lot of tweaks to the schema. You also have to reload the data. So this is very time consuming. It can become very expensive just based off of the personnel that have to be involved. And so it really becomes a headache. And we've found that graph users love the outputs, but they don't necessarily like the inputs necessary to get to those outputs. And so that either hinders adoption initially, or once a company leverages a graph use case, they kind of stop there and they don't expand that into other facets of their business. And so by eliminating that step, now we have schema updates that are simply a mapping process to the different tables that are designated as vertices and edges. And that you also are looking at when more data comes into the system, very, very simple updates and not again, like a massive migration of data.
Yeah. Really interesting. And let's put ourselves in the shoes of a consultant who's going to a client and maybe wants to do graph analytics from their perspective. That's what they're being hired for. It sounds like this could be a lot easier for the consultants to just go in and do things more directly. Can we sort of walk through that?
Absolutely. I think where consultants, as well as internal users at companies, but especially consultants, they have to show value quickly to their clients. Yeah. And to do so with a graph database model is tough. You have to ask them to put a significant amount of time and resources into play before they can actually see the value or the output. Our experience with some of our users are that they either with our support or on their own can spin up an instance of PuppyGraph and be running queries on their tabular data stores in an hour or less. So what we want them to be able to achieve is that success first, and then they can say, like, look, it works. Now we can discuss whether this makes sense to scale it from a POV or POC perspective, or even bring it into a small production environment. So the time to value, ease of use are very, very big focuses of ours.
And it sounds like the use cases that you guys enable are really powerful too, because you're able to go to data lakes that are really unlimited in size. And so in something like cybersecurity or fraud detection, for example, the you've got to put all the data in there that might lead you to the bad actors. And so can you talk a little bit more about how you're making that possible?
Absolutely. So we're compatible with a number of different data stores. One of the areas that we're really excited about are these modern data lakes, like Apache Iceberg, Apache Hoodie, Delta Lake, where their columnar storage is really geared really well for graph analytics and graph performance without data ingestion. And we find that clients are bringing, all of their data into these data lakes, and they can support real-time analytics, and so we can then act as just an analytic layer on top of the storage to execute these use cases for them. And another exciting aspect that we've learned from our clients is obviously graph is not everything. SQL is very important in fraud detection as well as in cybersecurity. And so with our approach, you can simply leverage a SQL query engine side by side with a graph query engine. And then the SQL outputs can be our inputs and vice versa. Our outputs can be their inputs. And then in terms of the data lake ecosystem, you can then feed these outputs directly into your machine learning algorithms and various different reporting tools and applications. So it's a kind of like a self-feeding or a positive feedback loop type of a mechanism that we're seeing within these more modern data infrastructures.
That's really promising. So many things we could do with more feedback loops like that. And so some of the other use cases that come to mind, given that capability, can you maybe mention one of the key use cases that really makes that capability shine?
Absolutely. There's the classic use cases, right, that we see within supply chain fraud across different industries. I know one of our largest clients over at TigerGraph was like, Fortune, I think it was a Fortune 10 or Fortune 5 healthcare company, and they did a lot around healthcare fraud. And these are like kind of classic connected data type of use cases. But Wimo, maybe you can share a little bit what we're doing, from an enablement perspective, and what we're seeing clients ask for us around like machine learning and graph algorithms and so forth.
Let me share a real use case. And for example, if the user already have a table which is the transaction of and the money flow, and they will have three columns: the sender, the receiver, and the amount. Actually, it's already a graph. The user can just create a logical schema on top of this table. And at the same time, for example, Sam and I transfer money a lot, and if we have transfer money 5 times, but for this single graph analysis use case, they don't ha need to have this much of edges. They want to have an aggregate of the edges between Sam and me first to add all the amount together. They can just use SQL group by statement to have a much smaller subgraph aggregate the weight of the edge, and then create a logical schema on top of it, and then run graph query to do the data analysis. This is the typical and the simple case how to leverage a SQL query and the graph query in the same use case.
And you're separating the logical from the physical, to make this kind of performant in ways that it hasn't been, correct?
And we underlying, of course, we have some indexing caching strategy to make it faster. But for the user, they don't need to care about the underlying technique. They just create a schema, a logical graph schema, and run graph query on top of the tabular data.
So these decoupling innovations are really behind a lot of the reasons that you guys are able to do all these things. Am I correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Any other insights on that question, Samuel?
From a technical perspective, I'll defer to Wemo in terms of the decoupling. Is there anything else that we can share that's not proprietary, Wemo, around the decoupling of the logical and the physical plan?
Yeah, so first, since most popular SQL data warehouse already have mature technology about separating the computation and the storage, but it's not good for the database. And currently, we want to be the first graph product, which is not the database. In this case, we don't need to make the logical data model and the physical storage consistent. We can just have a mapping from the logical schema to the physical table storage.
Yeah.
And also, the lucky thing is that the popular column-based story is a good way to do data analysis since first the column-based storage is designed for the analysis. And if we can make some locality of the data, like group by some from column or to column and build some index, can make it really fast to do graph analysis.
A couple of key themes that it seems like we should highlight here. One of them is loosely coupled and decoupled compute and storage. And then there's, beyond the data warehouse, you guys mentioned earlier that when we were just talking before we were getting started, that data warehousing doesn't seem to be the be all and end all, that people can get beyond it. Any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Currently, we're seeing that trend with large players. A notable one being Snowflake. They are starting to migrate away from their traditional data warehouse model and have done a lot and are doing a lot of investment on Apache Iceberg as their storage layer. And so this is they're seeing a lot of amazing benefits around this, like a lot less cost for their users, less ETL. Just a lot of improvements in terms of separating the improvements from a cost perspective, economics, as well as from a simplification of a data pipeline when you separate compute and storage.
Now, does the solution have any benefits from utilization of the hardware infrastructure at all? I was at a hardware AI conference last week, and it was just astounding at the H100 usage or people attempting to use the GPUs, the latest in NVIDIA GPUs and servers. And it's just like there's so much data being thrown at the compute these days. Does your solution help any with that problem?
Currently, we are still using CPU, but we leverage the vectorized evaluation to make it faster. And with the multi-thread processing and the vectorization evaluation, it's a big improvement on the performance.
Yeah, so you could sidestep the need to use a GPU in a lot of cases.
Yeah, especially for the vectorization evaluation part. Currently, we use vector instruction of the CPU, but
Yeah.
definitely is a good direction to detect to re do some research on whether GPU can do the similar thing with a better performance.
And what about vector embeddings and how you're using those most effectively? Vectorization is a key trend as well, isn't it?
Yeah, since for the graph embedding algorithm, I saw a lot of a library in the state-of-art library is mainly working in memory, and all the data need to be put into the memory and then do the random walk on the graph and then do some optimization, random walk optimization.
Yeah.
But definitely, if the data size is too large to put it into the memory, we need to make it optimized for easier for the user to be in production. And our way is more like currently the more focused on the random walk part. So the random walk don't need to working on data in memory. It can just directly query the data on data lake. And for the optimization part, we can also do some following work to make it spilled into disk. That's what we are focusing on in the current stage.
Yeah, makes sense. And it seems like it would have clear benefits. What about the different query languages that you're supporting? And I'm sure you're thinking about natural language query at some point as well, or am I wrong?
Currently, we support Gremlin and Cypher. Mm-hmm. And we also have a simple demo integrates with Llama Index, which can support already support some simple natural language query along the knowledge graph. Since we also discuss with our customers, since they try vector database before, and they realize that sometimes the similarity query answering cannot satisfy their real requirement in production. Yeah. For example, if they want to answer some question like what's the financial report of Q2, and it have a high probability to return a Q3 or Q4 report, since it's very similar to the query. And they are trying to collaborate with us to make it a knowledge graph. And in this case, the Q2 is an important entity in that graph, and then can make the answer more accurate to their answer.
Yeah, so more of a knowledge graph approach can help flesh out these distinctions so that you get better answers in response to your queries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's talk about the larger data environment and what you guys are doing and how it might relate to how to do data management better. You've got this potential for basically unlimited storage inside a data lake. And then there's the possibility for federation, I'm assuming, as well. Have you, you know, can you, the question becomes, you know, you've got this data that you're keeping around for a reason, and you're bringing together perhaps heterogeneous types of data. You all support different data models. So what's the data management lens on what you guys are doing and how it could help the data management folks?
Currently, we can support different data source in a single graph query. Like if some of your vertices in MySQL and some of your vertices and edges in Apache Iceberg or Apache Hudi, and then we can have a single logical graph schema mapping to these different data source.
Yeah.
And we can also leverage the access control and other feature of the data lake itself. And so the user don't need to have additional work to just grant roles and access for different data for the graph itself. They can just leverage their existing data management setting, and then it's easier for the user want to try a graph, since they don't need to take care of the other things.
Super. So I'm thinking in terms of a data maturity curve, guys. And let's say that 0 and 1 are down at the bottom of the curve, the learning curve. And as you get up to the 5 end of the scale on the other side, you've got, you know, just absolutely compliant, perfect data management capability. But most enterprises are at 1 or 2 in terms of their maturity. And so when it comes, I come from an audit firm, PwC. When it comes to going in and doing the audit, these companies could get a discount for their audit if they had a certain level of maturity, but most of them are not able to get to that level of maturity. And so they have to spend, every time there's an audit, they have to spend extra on labor resources because their data infrastructure is less mature. Is there a way that PuppyGraph can help in that context, or am I just going too far with this?
Be honest, we haven't think about this problem before. Yeah, and maybe we will have a discussion with our team. But definitely a promising problem for us.
Because things, things are just a mess out in enterprise land, at least outside the tech sector. And the more complexity, the more problems folks have. And so it seems like you could at least build a parallel system with the help of PuppyGraph to make that piece of the data that you're handling with the help of PuppyGraph, more mature. And then you could maybe migrate other parts of your data over time. Am I right about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Alan. I think what we see in IT in the IT world is a company-wide they want to work off of a single copy of data, and when we get out into more traditional industry, they tend to be more siloed. But we could help simplify the silos, right? We could come in, and this is kind of us putting our consultant hats on when we work with these traditional companies. Is maybe you guys don't want to work like a specific business unit doesn't want to work off multiple different data stores, and they can migrate either as a business unit or from even just a use case perspective into one of these kind of data centric or data lake models for that specific again business unit or use case, which will greatly simplify what they're trying to do. Now that's not necessarily a PuppyGraph specific thing. It's just more of how our tool works and then what we're seeing a trend in much more effective and economical data infrastructure.
Yeah, it seems like it's aligned in that sense with a more modern approach. And we're trying to coin some terms today. Beyond the data warehouse was one term, and another term is zero copy analytics. Because, or at least one copy analytics, because you're not having to duplicate to be able to just do your work. That just seems really powerful to me.
Absolutely, and the engineering efforts are essentially, when it comes to the migration perspective, if you have this data lake approach, is a one time, right? You set it up, and then you're piping your transactional and streaming data into a single location, and then not duplicating those migration efforts for a specific analytic tool.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like there are other possibilities as well. I think that in general, we've talked about the query languages, we've talked about all the capabilities in decoupling the logical from the physical, for example. We've talked about the power of doing ingestion in a much more efficient way. What about the different kinds of storage that you guys are able to tap into? We've been looking at Web3 because it's so much less expensive to store your data in a Filecoin or a Filebase, for example. And just maybe not doing everything in analytics using that kind of storage to begin with, because it's not mature, but it's obviously a direction that some folks are going to head into. Any comments on that at all?
Currently, we support the most popular data lakes like Apache Iceberg,
Yeah.
Apache Hudi, and also Delta Lake. And with some feedback of our customer, we're also trying to support, we already support other storage like Apache Hive, MySQL, PostgreSQL as the data source. And we are also working on a POC with Protocol Labs to about how to support natively with Filecoin. Yeah, I think it's definitely a good direction. And if the user can locally support natively support that kind of data, it will reduce their cost a lot.
Are we seeing other world regions using the less expensive kinds of storage more frequently? Or how would you break that down? I know that academics are using that less expensive storage because they just can't afford to keep all this historical data otherwise.
Yeah, and when we talk with our customer, if we can directly query their data on S3, it's definitely a big benefit for them. And it's actually happened a lot for the other tools like SQL Query, most popular SQL Query Engine, and also Spark. But for the graph world, it seems I think we are the first one to support directly query data on S3, and this can reduce the cost a lot. And if we also have some more research on the Filecoin case, and it's definitely another promising direction. And we hope that the POC with Protocol Labs can benefit this, and then the user can have even lower cost for this.
Yeah. So what about other future directions, guys? Other things we haven't talked about yet today that you want to mention before we end up?
In general, and I'll let Wemo add any specifics that he feels comfortable with, but the way we see the engine today, and the ability for us to separate the logical from the physical layer is that this could be more general along other data models. And so we've had discussions about migrating this to a generalized NoSQL query engine, given that there's already a lot of competition and very crowded space on the SQL side. But we don't see this happening in the NoSQL world. Now, which one of those NoSQL data models outside graph that we want to move forward with, we haven't quite discussed that yet. But I'll let Wemo, if he has any additional color, if he wants to add to that.
Currently, we want to, since we are a general computation framework, and we want to support some other NoSQL API if they also have trouble similar to the graph. And also, I think the ideal case that based on the LLM situation, maybe we can just let the natural language query anything. And we're also working with our customer to try to make it in production. And based on their feedback is promising, and we think that's the ideal case for us.
So just to summarize some of the really big takeaways that I'm seeing, it's not only beyond the data warehouse, it's also beyond the database. And so the database can be very constraining in ways that your materials, your content, your white papers, and your slide decks point out. So I would encourage people to take a look at how you're doing what you're doing, because we've always seen the database technology as a major constraint, and yet there's the habit of just continuing to use different databases, and there's what I would call database sprawl when there doesn't need to be. Is that a good summary of, you know, what the takeaways are, guys?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been really helpful today and so timely. And I want to thank you guys both for taking the time today on the Fair Data Forecast.
Absolutely, Alan. We really appreciate you having us, letting us share what we're working on. And you know, if anybody is interested, we have a free Docker of the product available in our user manual, and we don't charge for consulting. So anything that you guys want to talk to us about, whether it's strictly a hypothetical or is a real use case, we are always here to help.
Super. And we'll definitely point others to you as well. So goodbye for now.